Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, and I've as well. I've started.
How can you do that? That's illegal.
Means. So you can watch it legally using an account and a VPN.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jory agreed. Welcome to the podcast. Happy Christmas. Here is a special episode where Matt and Jamie are going to sing a collection of your favourite Christmas hits. Beginning with Jamie singing Joan Joan Armatrading. Is it? No, Joni Mitchell with River.
River? Is that a Christmas song?
Oh, I wish I had
it's
a river.
It's coming on Christmas. They're cutting down trees.
Reindeer.
Christmas we're by the river. Christmas time is great.
I heard that song performed live on Friday night by Lucy Wainwright something. I can't remember her other surname. But,
is she part of the Wainwright family?
I went to the Martha and Rufus Wainwright Christmas special.
Wow! Whoa, no way!
That's amazing.
It was very cool, actually. It was really good.
Fair play.
Is she the mum then?
No.
Who's
Lucy? Is their younger sister?
Oh, right. Oh, more to explore. Did not know.
No, mum's dead.
Oh, bugger. I recently...
In fact, this was the 10th anniversary of... They used to be the McGarrigle Christmas Hour, and this was the 10th anniversary of the last one that she'd done.
Oh, and that's kind of the...
Before she died.
That's what they sort of pin it on. They do. That's why they do it that night, is it?
That's why they did it. They haven't done a Christmas show for a long time, but this was one they did.
Yeah. Wow. There we go.
Lovely.
So this is probably the final episode before Christmas, the final episode of 2019. Soon we will be in the roaring 20s.
God, imagine that.
I know, 100 years since 1920. That's crazy. So what are we going to discuss?
Can I just pause? I'd like to talk about Rick and Morty season 4. It's on E4 at the moment. First three episodes are up there. Okay. And I've watched them all, and I can talk about that a little bit.
Are they good?
Oh, you'll find out.
Well, why don't we just do it? All right, we'll talk about that. I want to mention Mrs. Maisel.
Well,
we'll talk about
the morning show.
All right, fine. So on the last episode, if anyone listens to this podcast, A, but B, if anyone listens to it chronologically, Matt hadn't watched the morning show, and Jamie and I had different reactions to it.
Disagreements.
Jamie thought it was shouting wall to wall.
Specifically, the episode one, and I wanted to point out. I should have said. I realised the big moment that really annoyed me in episode one was that viral footage of Reese Witherspoon shouting at this random protester guy. It just felt so fake.
It's not that I don't think that. Like, okay, that was mildly annoying. I suppose what I'm surprised at is how angry the shouting and that made you. Like, it wasn't offensive to me in any way. It was just like, anyway, let's see where Matt landed on that. Were you livid, Matthew, at the shouting and the viral footage?
No. But I don't, I unfortunately, I think I'm somewhere in between both of you.
Yeah?
What's wrong with that?
I agree with Jamie that some of the writing in that episode is not the best. It's very on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
Like the bit where Reese Witherspoon quits her job and she says, "Why don't you go and find yourself another puppet?" And it's just not very clever. And I think I'm used to better stuff. Have you ever watched The Newsroom, Aaron Sorkin's The Newsroom?
Yes. Yeah, dreadful stuff.
I wouldn't go so far as to call it dreadful.
Awful. Absolutely.
I think that's a good analogy to make. Oh, well, not analogy. And it's a good comparison because, in a way that, yeah, in that it's very
How much of it did you see?
The first series.
And you thought it was awful.
Awful, awful.
Did you like it, Matt?
Just two.
I did like some of it in the way that I like anything that Aaron Sorkin writes. But I did think it had problems. I wouldn't call it awful, though.
I think it was a personal thing. I think it was like, Jamie, you didn't like it either, did you? I remember one of our first podcasts was on this. But I think if you worked, like Sarah works in a newsroom every day, and Jamie and I always worked next to newsrooms, and like just the idea that the kind of morality debates that are happening, which is Aaron Sorkin's thing, it was so far beyond reality, and that in many ways reality is more interesting than that. So the kind of wish fulfillment turned up to 500 worked better for me in West Wing than it did in that, I suppose.
But I thought this has some of the stuff in it about like the virtue of the news and the kind of the honour of it all.
Yeah. The intent was there. Yeah. I agree with his intent. It's just like wet dream.
But also, I just think in terms of, where it sits ideologically is probably somewhere a bit more comfortable for me. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the quality of the writing, I thought it was lacking in a lot of places.
Okay.
I don't like Jennifer Aniston in it so far.
Okay.
I don't really like Reese Witherspoon in it either, and I love her. And unfortunately, I don't think I'm far enough in to settle the Steve Carell question.
Yeah, you probably need a bit further.
Yeah. But I will agree that Billy Crudup is great.
Well, I would just have to say that I think Matthew's on my side there, because I did not in any way say this is a great thing. I said, it did not offend me. It's fine. Yeah. And it's why I'm not selling my shares in Netflix, because it's just what happens when you throw so much money at something and they've tried to make a really, really, really safe mainstream success. So there's no surprises in there. You know, there's nothing.
I think they've gone too far with the slickness as well.
Yeah.
I really don't like the way the second episode starts with that kind of lingering shot of the jazz singer singing Creep.
Yeah,
it's just like it's just like going, look at how stylish this show is, motherfuckers.
Yeah, they're just going. It's like network TV. It's like big time network TV / rom-com Hollywood. It has to be a success. If they're paying as much as Jamie said, $2 million each an episode just for the actors. Yeah. It's, you know, and it's what happens with Apple. Have gone, right, we're not going to do 6 million things and hedge our bets. We're going to make 6 things. So they've got to be absolutely watertight for every audience imaginable.
Yeah, and it will hook people in, and it's like there's a lot of things about it that I really, I'm still watching it, so there you go.
But yeah, me too.
And yeah, I hate the use of music in the show. I think some of the there's always
got a lot of hatred in the elements of this show.
And, what, and like there's bits of like energetic music, the score.
Yeah.
No. More the just, they'll have a song. They'll always have a song about 45 minutes in. And it'll be a shit song as well that you've probably never really heard of, or you've kind of heard of, and you're like, what? And they'll have like a bit of montage of what all the characters are doing in different places. And I hate stuff like that. And but at the same time, I've grown to quite like this dynamic between Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston. I quite like the, are they going to be, you know, are they going to get on? Is it going to work, this show?
Mm-hmm.
I quite like that. I like the power struggle at the top of this business. And the Me Too stuff gets more interesting at times. There's an episode I've just watched, you probably watched it as well, Howell, that actually I thought was really interesting because it goes into Steve Carell's character, how he behaved. Yeah, have you seen this, Howell?
So we finally got to the point where...
Well, I don't want to know.
No, I'm not going to give anything away.
I'm
going to
watch it.
I'm not going to give anything away. But if you like, this series is kind of playing with the line, isn't it? What's the line where you cross between being someone who's misunderstood and someone who's done something terrible? Well, what, and is that line different depending on your perspective? And in this last episode that's just come out this week, there is a, you know, you could almost time it to the second where most of us would go, well, there's the line. And I'm a little bit disappointed that they did that, because skirting that line was what made it so interesting. And now I know which side of the line we are either on or supposed to be on, you know?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Okay. Do you agree, Jamie? It's like, it's unequivocal now.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah, but I quite liked the way the episodes showed behaviour and how, from one perspective, it could just be seen as, well, you know, it's still, I think there's still a bit of, obviously, like, you, I can't say, I will say anymore, we'll let Matt watch it. Mm. But basically, I thought it was a good episode to see. You know, my problem with the, let's go back to the first episode just one second, man. My problem with the first episode as well was everyone was in hysterics about something that we didn't give a shit about, because we knew nothing about these characters. We knew nothing about this show. So why should we care that this show's falling apart? Which That's is why true. That episode that we just watched, Howell, was good, because just getting a little bit of backstory and understanding this world that was already in existence before it came tumbling down actually helped the show.
Well, the sad thing is that it also, you get a sense of, oh shit, that's the show I'd like to watch. Like, I would really like to watch Steve Carell and Jennifer Aniston presenting that show for a couple of years. If the first two series, instead of it being reliant on flashbacks, if we actually watched the degradation and the questions as they happened, you could perhaps then enjoy it in the same way that Matt enjoyed The Newsroom. You know, you see the show going out and you see the arcs change. Instead, this is such a concept-heavy kind of, okay, let's ask the question, was this guy bad or not? And now fling these two people together. And the issue there is that Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston, talented, brilliant actresses as they are not TV presenters. And you don't get a sense that they have, not even, I'm not saying that the two characters have a synergy when they're together as a double act, because they can't, that's fine. They've just been flung together. But even when, like, they're just reading straight to camera, when Jennifer Aniston's doing it, she's supposed to be the best of the best. And I never buy it in anywhere near the same way.
I completely agree with that, yeah. That interview that they did with the two of them was just like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Can you imagine watching that without any of the cutaways or any of the music or anything like that or any of the sub-story? If you just watched that interview, you'd be going, what the fuck is happening here?
It's such a different skill. It's something we saw for years whenever we got an actor or someone to try and do a bit of presenting. It's a really hard thing because it's totally different. It's a more naked form of lying than acting. You know.
Do you know what? This just reinforces for me, and I've said it before, and I'm saying it again.
Yeah.
The Larry Sanders Show is the best TV show that's ever been made.
Yeah, and he does both things. Yeah,
it's both a great sitcom and a proper talk show.
Yeah,
it makes sense in both worlds. It is peerless
because he has that thing. Because his style, you can never see him as anything other than that character, which is so close to who he really is. His actual acting style. You know, Tom Hanks would probably be a really good would be good at playing a presenter, because it's always his performances that you feel like are an inch away from who he actually is. And that's the same as good presenters. You essentially don't know if they're reading off a script or not, you know. Anyway, so are you going to crack on with that?
Jury's
out.
I am going to keep going. Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like there's no reason to get off the train.
I didn't hate it. Certainly the first episode.
It also strikes me how, like, okay, so I want to talk about Marvelous Mrs. Maisel for a moment.
Oh yeah, it's back.
It's back. Did you even know it was back?
I did.
Yeah, I saw the adverts. Yeah.
I've watched the first episode of season 3.
God, it's good. I've had to pause it.
We really need to get back on this.
I've had to pause it 15 minutes from the end of the final episode in order to do this podcast. My wife is downstairs watching the last minute.
Furious.
Yeah, we're
nearly finished season. Oh my god, when did you start it?
3 nights ago. We've nailed it.
Shit.
But there's only 8 episodes, and there's they go to Vegas and they go to Florida, and it's kept up with the thing of, like, just the huge budget of them doing whatever they want with this show. But it's so... I was watching it, I was thinking, where else can you see all of the best things about theatre, musicals, comedy and acting and film all in one? Like, super quadruple threats, everyone who's in it. Almost every actor in it could burst into song at any moment, even though they don't. But they're brilliant actors. The costumes, amazing. It's like watching... And the fact that we could almost miss that in the age that we live in now, the fact we could go, well, I quite like The Morning Show, and I almost missed Mrs. Maisel. These, like, things that are so unbelievable, so unbelievably well-made and brilliant. We're so spoiled. But Mrs. Maisel, if you haven't started it, if you haven't started it because it's a weird title and you're not sure what it is, get in there, give it the four episodes because it's a different style, but it takes you place. I'm just going to watch this series again, back to back.
But that's a good example as well of, like, where you were saying Jennifer Aniston's not very good as a presenter, so you don't buy it as easily. Whereas, like, at the comedy, actually the stand-up scenes in Mrs. Maisel are really good. Like, I really like them. Like,
she gets better through the series, I think.
Yeah, which is good because she's getting more confident and she's getting better at what she does as well.
Yeah.
And it's really, like, it's really wonderfully written, like, as a stand-up as well. Like, you can tell that this has been written by really, really clever comedians.
Yeah.
I did find the stand-up scenes a bit jarring when I watched the first series.
Yeah, a lot of people did. That's why I'm, you know, again, proof that Jamie's lost his taste somehow. It's come and go for us, that. Sometimes there's some really good stuff and sometimes they're not. But really, it's more of a musical style. You're just sort of buying that she's on stage doing a thing at that point. But the characters are just great. Abe, oh my God, that character, her dad, and Tony Shalhoub, his performance is just...
He's great.
Oh, Jesus, there's some stuff in the third series that will make you weep with him. He's just so good. Anyway.
Yeah, and it's a very, like, it's very stylized in, like, you get, once you start it, it's so different to everything else that you watch in the how strategically, it's very choreographed.
Oh my God!
And so when you go back in, like, the first episode, it's quite jarring initially because you're like, oh, it's so precise and everything's kind of planned out to the minutiae.
Yeah.
And then, but once you get into that rhythm of the show, you're just on that ride completely again.
You have to forgive every 12th move they make. You have to forgive that it doesn't quite work in the way that they wanted, but it's because it's so bloody ambitious. So the first shot of this third series is one massive long shot that takes in like an army camp, and so you've started, haven't you, Jamie? First shot is like, that's one shot, that whole thing, and they've timed it, and they must have a cast of 500 in it. It's just ridiculous. So it's like, it's on that scale of old Hollywood with just huge numbers of people involved, and therefore sometimes someone misses a beat or there's one line too many. It's, you can tell it's Gilmore Girls stock because there's sometimes the written jokes are just so clever. So there's like a 500 words in a speech or something, and you go, this is, stop talking. But if you can forgive those little things, it's, as a whole, it's just so good. So my pick on this episode of the Box Set Pod, I think we should all make one Christmas present recommendation to anybody listening. My present to you is The Gift of Maisel. Go and watch it. It's on Amazon Prime. If you've never started it, it's called The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. It's won lots of awards and it's brilliant. So that's my recommendation. Boys, you can make one as they come to you.
Mine is right now, it's Rick and Morty. It's start yourself, do yourself a Christmas favour and start series one of Rick and Morty. It's available now on channel4.com, all four. You can get all the episodes, and on Netflix. but the latest series on all four. And it's just a pleasure to watch. Brilliantly, like, the concepts within Rick and Morty are in themselves, just as a sci-fi, it's really clever. But then that really, really brilliant humour and incredibly funny characters and wonderful recurring roles that come in as well. It's just a magnificent watch from start to finish, and it's a Christmas treasure.
I am going back to it tonight. That's it. I'm going to do it.
It's a very particular sense of humour, and I mean, I don't think it will appeal to everyone.
Yeah, probably not.
But you have to use this as a sort of personal stock take. Watch Rick and Morty. Watch the whole first series. And if you don't like it, know that you need to improve yourself, and that you're not watching TV on a high level, and that you've got work to do.
I feel that way about Book of Mormon in the theatre. That like theatre is so hit and miss. But if any human being can go into the Book of Mormon and not think it's incredible, they need to have a lobotomy.
God, I don't know what I'd do. I haven't met anyone who actively dislikes Hamilton yet.
Yeah. But, have you been?
I've been twice.
Have you? Wow. Okay.
I told you about this. Me and my wife both bought each other tickets for our birthdays without the other one knowing.
That's great.
But just for example, like with back to Rick and Morty a second, because you know the new series is really worth digging in if you're a fan. The first episode, it's such a clever, brilliantly, like, they'll take a concept and they'll just run it to death. They'll run it into the ground where you think it's, you know, you can't go any further with it. They'll take it, you know, to that extra mile. The concept of the first episode is that Morty and Rick, they go to a planet where there's these crystals that show whoever is touching them all the different ways that they may die depending on the choices they make. And Morty has one of these crystals, and he sees that if he starts walking in a certain direction, he'll die as an old man with the love of his life, this girl from his school who he's got a crush on. She is a character you've seen every now and then return up. And so he just starts doing everything just in order to go in the right direction for this reality to become, you know, what needs to happen. And it takes it to the nth degree where, you know, he actually, like, he sort of like almost kills Rick trying to get to where he's got to go. And then at some point she actually comes to him and she's like, oh, I really love you, we should go skinny dipping. He's like, no, we're not meeting yet, we're going to meet 40 years later when I'm a middle-aged man. And it's like, it just sort of like there's all these brilliant permutations that they take to the actual extreme, and it's so clever and wonderful that it's just funny in the way it handles these concepts. It's really great.
Well, I didn't sell it for me, I'll be honest. But
there was an episode in series 3 where they Rick was having an affair with a planet that was a single consciousness. So like every person on the planet was this one consciousness, and so they had these incredibly elaborate sexual scenarios. It was I really enjoyed that. That was you're right. They're proper sci-fi ideas.
The hardest thing for any of us,
cynical kind of modern day twist on it. It's really, it's very good.
Hardest thing for any of us to do, as we've known since the start of this, is to do something that you don't want to do. To watch something that you don't think you like. And the two things people have banged on at me the most about in the last 2 years has been BoJack and Rick and Morty. And I started BoJack. I did a couple of episodes. Couldn't get into it. I started Rick and Morty, did a few episodes, but I wasn't really paying attention, didn't really get into it. BoJack, finally returned to, and I'm addicted, and I can't get enough of it, and it's just phenomenal. So, Rick and Morty, I'm going to do it, even though I don't feel it, I'm going to do it.
Oh, I thought you were a fan, Hal. Where did you get to with it, then? Did you only get into the first series?
No, nowhere.
It was just on autoplay in season one, but I think I was either doing work, playing a computer game, or not paying attention for some reason. So I need to give it attention, otherwise there's just too much going on. My only reaction can be, it's a bit noisy, this.
Sorry, I missed the bit where you said you asking us for Christmas presents.
Yeah, Christmas presents, your suggestion.
I'll say it now. The Larry Sanders Show, the complete Larry Sanders Show, is on Amazon at the moment for about £40. There's 8 series of it. Just do it.
£40.
That's quite a lot, that.
For 8 series? That's £5 a series, you fuckers.
there's only 5 series of Larry Sanders, isn't there?
Oh, I thought it was 8.
I am selling unwrapped on eBay at the moment, which gave me for Christmas a couple of years ago. Please don't. It's not because I don't like, just don't need the DVDs. So
not,
you know.
Watch the whole thing. Well, no,
if anything that you could stream it through, then I would buy that. But I can't.
Have you seen the underwater BoJack?
No, I haven't seen it. I've seen like a few episodes of BoJack. I really couldn't be bothered with it.
You really just do it, Matt. Just get back on it. Just get back on it.
No.
Oh,
I'm not going to.
I feel like I am the only one of us three who actually regularly wrenches himself out of the comfort zone.
Are you fucking kidding? Do you know how hard I tried to watch Chuck?
Well, once. Watched
the entire first series of that piece of shit. Now.
Once.
Have you watched Watchmen? You said you were watching it.
Yes, because even though I'm short on time and
energy.
I'm
not trying to make a point. I'm asking about Watchmen.
Yes.
What do you think?
I watched episode one. I enjoyed it very much. And I'm not just saying that because you know somebody who's in it. I really did enjoy it. It was... what was it? You were typically on the fence, weren't you, after it?
I still am. I've watched four episodes more, I think, and I'm just like, I don't know what the hell to make of this show. It's quality, it's done well, but
yeah,
it's so weird.
It starts really well. You know, you're back in racist 1920s or even earlier, maybe 1890s America or whatever. And then you jump to an alternative present, and I enjoyed it. I just felt probably the same as you do now, I feel, at the end of episode one, which is like, okay, so there's a bunch of pieces that are going to come together. Am I quite as comfortable with these pieces as I want to be? Like, do I care enough to want to see the pieces come together? But it's really well made, well acted. Your friend who's in it, that world that he inhabits, without spoiling
it,
is so batshit and brilliant. Love it.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's going to get more so as well. Like in episode two, it gets totally nuts.
I've just been told by my wife to delete the bit about there before she hears it. So. I have to remember to hear that. Anyway, oh, the underwater bit of BoJack I was mentioning because Matt sounded like he entered that episode. That's one of the reasons I picked up BoJack again is because I did what Matt did. I watched a few, thought, cannot be bothered, can't get into it. And then my brother started going on about it, other people started going on about it, and I was like, I'm not going to watch it. And then this one guy who went to Cambridge and studied theatre, and so I have an undue respect for, that he's gotten my unearned respect for, said, I think the greatest thing that I've ever seen written for TV is BoJack Horseman, and if you stick with it, you're going to see an episode, you're going to see like these three, and he told me about three episodes that were coming up, and it kind of spoiled it for me, so I'm not going to do it, but one of them was the underwater episode, and it's just divine. It's divine. If Rick and Morty is as good as BoJack, I will admit it.
Rick and Morty is definitely as good, and I'd say better than Boj. And I've watched three series of Boj.
Whoa, three?
Yeah.
Come back when you're up to like series eight or whatever we're on now. Okay?
Oh my god, I'm definitely not going for it.
You're on short. Series four, Howell.
Yeah, well, they're short episodes, and it goes through, you know, a couple of lulls, but get back on it.
Oh no, series five is the latest one, I think. Oh no, series six. There's six actually.
Look, until you two start forcing yourselves to watch shit you don't want to watch, it's just going to be me.
Four series of BoJack.
Yeah, good.
I've done the four series rule. I've watched
quite
a lot
of BoJack.
I did love BoJack. I've just slightly lost interest. Maybe I'll go back, but. I got very far in. There's some series that I've loved, and I get why people, it really connects with people, but I just have lost, during series four, I lost interest at some point.
Yeah, I know why it is. There's a series of episodes, about four or five episodes, and it's full of flashbacks. It's full of backstory shit. And it's like, oh, why? And then it realises that, and it gets back into the real, like, Nina Simone soundtrack. Tragic, brilliant, dark, beautiful stuff. Oh, God, it's amazing. The use of the Nina Simone song "Stars" is makes me cry every time I hear that song now. Jesus, it's good.
You still talking about BoJack?
Yes. Not a cartoon about a horse.
Sorry, I switched off for a moment.
Are either of you still watching Orange Is the New Black, or did you both?
Hell no!
Fuck no!
So sad that you're all like that. See, you know we've
that show. I mean, what series is it on now? Six.
It's on its final series, which I believe is seven.
Good God, man! I persevered with that show. I gave it a long time.
Does it get interesting again?
Well, I think it does, but I understand why people have given up on it, like yourselves. I mean, it's not a. It does lose you at times, but it comes back round. And I've always enjoyed it. I've always really loved the sort of central characters outside of Piper, the main character, who's all right. But it's mainly like the community within the prison, and. I still think it's good, but I understand the desire to drop it if you've got a lot of other stuff you want to watch.
It was the same problem as BoJack. It was flashbacks and backstories that just made me go, forget it.
Yeah, there's still a bit of that backstory action going on.
We still like a protagonist, don't we? It'd be like if Game of Thrones suddenly just stopped featuring Jon Snow and started... Yeah, anyway.
So we've all given our...
Christmas recommendations.
Treats.
Thanks very much. Have a great Christmas. Have a great New Year.
Go whoa, on. Whoa, whoa! Where are you stopping?
Was there something else you wanted to add?
I want to shit on Dark Materials.
Oh. Hey, Jamie, will you go on the boxsetpod.com while Matt shits on this and update your credit card information, please?
Oh right, yeah, because I'm the only one who pays for that, by the way.
Yeah, I pay for our other websites that go to it.
A lot of the websites.
Exactly.
Okay. Go on, Matt. Jamie. What were you saying about Dark Materials? Because I'm really enjoying it.
It's shit.
Oh, come
it's shit,
on.
And I don't know how they've managed to make it boring, but it's boring.
Wow. Oh, Matthew, I couldn't disagree more. Mm-hmm. I'm enthralled.
Really? You really like it?
I'm not saying it's like epic TV brilliant, but I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it.
What's happened
Sunday
to
night.
You recently? You've not left the house actually for a long time.
You
didn't
what
come
about?
To...
I was on a staff do a few nights ago, living it up, playing table tennis.
Yeah, but
at
you've
two
not.
In the
what about friends? What about your friends? When did you last see your friends?
I just saw Johnny tonight.
Doing
your
what?
Your brother having a drink.
You had a drink with him.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't do the pod earlier. This is interesting.
Did he ask you about Quantum Leap?
He didn't ask me about that. He wants to borrow Sopranos off me, so I was doing a little deal with him.
Oh, I sold that ages ago.
You sold Sopranos?
Your Sopranos, yeah. Do you still watch DVDs, Jamie?
I watch DVDs.
Do you?
I still have really good HBO box sets. You can't have them on streaming. They're not there.
Wow. Yes,
can't watch The West Wing on streaming. Can't watch Sopranos. Actually, you can watch I think that's on Netflix.
Isn't West Wing coming to Netflix?
Well, it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix in America, but it's leaving Netflix in America.
That's right.
Oh.
Clearly, Matt also listens to The West Wing Weekly.
I do indeed. God, I would love to be going to their London show.
You missed it again.
Yeah. Tickets were gone too fast.
Damn it.
Anyway, back to Dark Materials a second, Howard. You've not even watched it, so how do you know it's shit?
I'm busy trying to watch all this other stuff that you get.
Yes,
I didn't say
exactly.
That.
So you're saying my opinion's off when you don't even know my opinion's off. You might actually like Dark Materials.
True.
Whereas we know that Matthew, 90% of stuff Matthew watches, he doesn't like.
All right, well, let's do a pass it on homework for each other for the new year.
Okay, all right.
You tell
Hang
me.
On, what have I got to watch? I'm not watching BoJack.
Oh, this is good. This is good. Okay, right. Who's giving who what? We've all got to give each other what.
All right. One episode of The Crown, which I mentioned last week, season 3, episode 3. I will give it to either of you. Let's see what else is on offer. This doesn't have to be unfair. We might all be able to agree.
All right. I'm going to give, Dark Materials...
Okay. Well, it's got to be to me then, doesn't it? So,
to you then, Howell.
All right. And Matt?
Oh.
Oh, that means Matt's doing the Crown. Yeah, that means
I've got to watch one episode of series.
Yeah,
three
and you can do season 3, episode 3.
Really?
Then what?
Yes.
What about episodes 1 and 2?
Forget it. Don't need it.
Fine. All right. Okay.
Well, then what do you want someone else to watch? In this case, it would probably be me, Matt.
What do you want me to watch? Yeah. It's gonna be something you haven't watched.
You've seen most of the things that I really.
Yes. Like. Yeah. That's the problem. Maybe.
Did you ever watch Easy?
No. Oh, hold on a minute. The compilation.
The anthology one.
I watched the first episode.
Oh, hang on. Jamie, you could take the crown and you could give Matt a challenge. You've not seen Crown either,
okay.
Have you?
Okay, I tell you what. Yeah. Okay, I'll give Matt a challenge. Yeah, I'll do the crown.
But then I haven't given anyone anything.
Yeah, well, yeah, Matt's got to give someone something.
Yeah. You watch Easy. I'll tell you what, I'll pick you an episode of Easy. Watch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which one?
Alright, hang on, talk about something else for a minute and I will find one.
So who am I giving what? Am I giving you?
You've already given how
Dark Materials.
Dark Materials. And where can I watch that?
You can watch that on BBC iPlayer.
And with the crown, what are you watching, Matt? Three. Yep. The only time I will ever and I'm only recommending that because I know that I can't get you to carry on watching the first series.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm down for that. You, Jamie, need to watch episode 5 of series 1 of Easy.
That's interesting because I stopped watching it after episode 4, I think. So okay,
right, episode 4 is weak. Episode 4 is Controlada, it had no recurring characters from that one. So episode 5 is the one with Mark Maron as well. So
We've all got our challenges. And we'll reconvene in 2020, the start of 2020, to see if we've broadened our minds, become better people.
If you would like to issue us a challenge, then you could. Studio at the box at pod.com. Carry on, Matt.
I think 2019 has been a very good year for television.
You know what? We should have done a bloody recap.
We should have done a retrospective. Yeah.
Oh, what a bunch of morons! It's like we don't plan this thing.
Well, I'll tell you what we did. We began the year with Bandersnatch, Maisel, Kidding, and Sex Education. We moved on to Kimmy Schmidt. We talked about Liam Neeson being accused of racism, The Punisher, and True Detective. We did Alan Partridge, Russian Doll, Killing Eve 2. See, it's a long year, wasn't it? The Calm Before the OA Returns. The Game of Thrones. We did lots of Game of Thrones. We did...
You've missed out a big one there. You missed out Fleabag.
We did Handmaid's
Tale. Which was one of the highlights of the year.
Yes.
Mindhunter. Meryl Streep, of course.
Handmaid's Tale.
Succession. Unbelievable. Oh, there's a new series on there that's like Netflix are always doing confessions type things, but there's a good one on there at the moment about the serial killer who confessed to 300 murders. That's quite good.
Yeah, I've been watching that. I'll give you my 2019, and you should all do this, a TV high and a TV low.
Go on then.
Okay, my TV high, yeah. Succession season 2 was just absolutely fantastic. I keep raving about it to everybody, and anybody who watches it bloody loves it because it's so good. My TV low would be Game of Thrones finale, obviously, just because not necessarily the last episode, but the last few episodes and how badly judged the storytelling was. What about you, Howell?
TV, well, I agree with yours, but I would add to TV high The Crown Series 3. No, Maisel. Okay. It's got to be Maisel. Or Chernobyl. Chernobyl.
Chernobyl.
I'm going Chernobyl. Great, yeah. And at the other end of the scale, TV low is the destruction of my enjoyment of a TV series by Meryl Streep demanding to be in it.
How dare you?
And Matthew, what's your choice?
I'll say Fleabag. for the highlight, because Succession would definitely be one of mine. But yeah, I thought Fleabag series 2 was a really perfect series. As for a downfall, I'm really, really disappointed by his Dark Materials. Other than that, no, there's nothing that really offended. Although, actually, This Is Us, that is my low light for this year. Those four episodes of This Is Us that I watched,
great series,
some of the most offensive TV minutes that I have spent time on.
If you've got a heart, you'll love it. Thank you.
I love that you could not choose a low. You had so many lows, Matthew.
Yeah. Four in every episode of our podcast. Right, thank you. Happy Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, Happy whatever you choose to do with yourself. And we'll see you in 2020.
Yeah.
Cheers, fellas.
Merry Christmas.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.